From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, March the 2nd, 2010. Every week, Directions Media brings you the most current news, trends, and opinions on geospatial technology and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Today we'll discuss the recent congressional hearings on privacy and location, the issue being the regulation of location-based data obtained from consumers and the impact to business. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Manage your field data and immediately share critical business information across your enterprise. For more information, visit www.esri.com/mobile solutions.
Congressional hearings by the House Subcommittee on Communications Technology and the Internet were held last Wednesday, February 24th. And let me start by reviewing some of the issues at hand. I'm going to quote from an article in ClickZ. The relatively brief joint hearing served as a preliminary discussion about location-based data and its usage for targeting information and advertising to users of mobile devices. While nothing concrete emerged from the discussion, the potential is clear. Impending comprehensive privacy legislation could regulate commercial use of location-based mobile data, said Rick Boscher, chairman of that committee. Quote, I think you can expect to see this topic emerge as part of a larger legislative item, unquote. Also in the same article, Mike Altschul, general counsel of the Wireless Industry Association, that's CTIA, was among those cautioning against overarching legislation, suggesting that technology or unintended consequences will get in the way of a privacy law. And then the last thing I want to mention is someone else who weighed in on this topic. It was from the Electronic Privacy Information Center, acronym is EPIC. And they said EPIC fully supports the subcommittee's examination of locational privacy policy. Mobile devices have become ubiquitous in modern society, and their use has become common among younger and younger children. In light of this, it's important that clear standards are formulated in order to protect the privacy of users by giving users the control over their own data and requiring an opt-in model for the use of this data. And all of those points are very valid. And we kind of talked about this last week in our discussion about Rob My House. Adina, as I read these various statements by those who came before the committee and others, the issue has always been and will be one of balance. Are the innovations of business and the privacy of consumers in equilibrium? And that seems to be where we're at this point.
Yeah, and this actually is the fifth in a series of hearings on the general topic of consumer privacy. So this wasn't a standalone kind of thing. It was actually part of a larger set preparing for potentially some legislation to look at consumer privacy writ large. And as you suggest, location is sort of one part of it, but it's becoming this ubiquitous part, a part that everybody is participating in at some level with their handheld, with their laptop, and thus there's actually a lot of potential input from the citizens, from the companies that are providing the applications, from the carriers, from the government who might want to use this data for other kinds of things. So there's quite a number of stakeholders involved. And I think that was reflected in the various people who were invited to speak in front of the committee to give testimony. There was quite a range. There was an academic, and there were a couple of companies sort of talking about how they provide their offerings. One was U-Locate, which is a company here in Boston. And some of those had some very interesting little tidbits that I thought were valuable for the committee to hear. There were other things that the committee got to hear that weren't so valuable. I'll get to those later. Lori Faith Craner is an associate professor of computer science and engineering and public policy at Carnegie Mellon, which is sort of a hotbed of location-based services stuff. And she reviewed some studies that she's done with colleagues that sort of set the landscape of location-based services. And they did a study of 587 non-random folks. And they sort of asked them, what are the top benefits of location-based services? And people came back with frankly, the kinds of things that we've talked about in the past, making sure that everybody's okay in an emergency, tracking my kids, and maybe getting some information based on about the location where I currently am. They saw limited benefits in things like meeting new people. And when asked to highlight the risks, they pointed to the broad category of stalking and the concern about being bombarded with ads. So interestingly, the sense of benefit, at least for this particular population, just wasn't that high. Now, the other part of the study really looked at what the providers of location-based services were offering in terms of privacy policy and tools to manage privacy. And they looked at 89 applications. About a third of them didn't have a location policy readily available on the website when they first looked at them in April of 2009. When they looked again in February of 2010, of the original 89, only 84 were left, and things hadn't changed much. Now, having said that, 76% of them did have some kind of privacy controls, but almost all of them required several screens to go through. You had to dig down pretty deep to find them and turn them on. I thought that was an interesting statement about the state of the planet, considering how much hype is going on now about Twitter having location and Foursquare and so forth. Now, do those findings sort of mesh with what you're seeing as you look out at location-based services, at least from here in the United States?
Yeah, you know, I want to pick up on something you said, because it goes to a conversation I had with Brady Forrest last week, and we'll air that conversation later, which is that these platforms must in some way allow the user, and this is one of those opt-in things, allow the user some control over his location. So it's interesting that when you reviewed in those statistics you provided, that some were lacking in a policy and the ability to actually opt in, opt out, whatever you want to say, control your location-based information. And I think that really gets to the crux of the issue, which is, are the platforms allowing you to opt in such that you are aware of being allowed to opt in, if you know what I mean? In other words, is it easy to opt in or opt out? And I think that that's something that may be missed by the congressional panel. I think it goes to that issue specifically. There are benefits to broadcasting your location, but the platforms must make it so that your location can be switched on or off. That's my thought.
Right, and I think one of the striking little quotes that came out of the various testimony documents was from John Morris, and he's the general counsel and director of the Center for Democracy and Technology Standards, Technology and Policy Project. And he tried to align sort of this giving of this opt-in, opt-out, as you described it, with giving consent for the disclosure of medical records. And let me just quote him. "The writing is on the wall that there will be baseline privacy legislation introduced. It will require location to be treated as sensitive data like medical data. You'll need to more than just post a disclosure statement," unquote. And that really is coming down to all of those documents you have to sign that say, I'm going to share my medical information with my doctor, with my insurance company, with another doctor, and so forth. There's this very formal and legislated method for sharing that information. And I think what he's trying to do is say, we need to have something like that. Now, whether it's exactly like medical data, you could argue. But I think the idea that there is a framework for how that data is shared, and we need to have a similar and clear framework for location data.
And actually, the ReadWrite web article authored by Marshall Kirkpatrick, he said, or he asked, but does location data need to be default private, like medical information, in order to prevent misuse and to support an economy innovation? Some people believe that it is the culture of sharing by default that makes location-based services what they are. And then also another author, Kit O'Connell, from the Google Buzz section on ReadWrite Web said, people will never treat location like medical data because they are so willing to give it up to the world in so many cases. It becomes an issue of surveillance versus suvalence. Suvalence is an outward-facing surveillance. So location-based social networks offer not just a way for us to be seen, but a way for us to see what the rest of the world around us is doing. And that's the distinction they're making between location-based information and privacy and medical records is we are giving permission. We want to see what the world is doing around us. And I thought that was a really interesting way to phrase the differences.
I thought that was really well said, and it ties in very nicely with what Ann Collier, who is the co-director of ConnectSafely.org, said in her testimony, where she was really looking at young people and location-based privacy. And she makes the statement, and I think this ties in exactly with the comments you just made. She says, meanwhile, location-based services are, to young people, just a new twist on status updates. In other words, it's part of their culture to share their status. It's part of their culture, therefore, to share their location. And it's very, very different from medical information in their minds. I think that's right on. And I think, and we've pointed this out before, we've got some generational issues here as well.
I was just going to bring that up, but I hate to boil it down to just a generational issue, that younger people are more likely to share their information than others, because the same issues with privacy are in play. You know, whether you're young or old, you may not want your location always broadcast. Whether you're more comfortable with doing that, yes, that's generational. But the same issues regarding safety and security still, I think, apply. Some of the discussion now before Congress goes back to 1999, when Congress amended the Communications Act of 1934 with the Wireless Communication and Public Safety Act of 1999, which essentially required wireless carriers to implement 911 emergency calling and added location privacy to those provisions of the Telecommunications Act. So again, this has been talked about for a long time, and so I wanted to frame the discussion as one of safety and security, not just generational. I just think that has to be entered into the discussion.
True, and just as it's generational, and just in terms of young people just look at this technology differently than those of us who've been around a little longer. Even the associations who've been trying to put together best practices, they're working against the moving target. Mike Altschul, who you mentioned before, in his testimony, you know, noted that CTIA came out with their best practices in 2008, and they thought, okay, good, we got it set. Now, the challenge was that back then, the understanding was that most of this location-based information was going to be shared through the carriers. So the best practices and guidelines were aimed at the carriers. Well, now, if you've got a GPS in your device, you can, in a sense, skip through. And so they've got to revamp that whole set of guidelines because, basically, the technology and the implementation changed under them. And, you know, that, again, is just, it's not generational. It's just technological, you know, development. Making any kind of legislation now, you know, we're going to run into that same issue that they made, which was, and they weren't writing legislation, they were writing best practices documents. So we've got to know that going in.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think the chairman of the committee noted that the next meeting of this body would be legislative, in which they're going to look at the devils in the details, I think was the statement.
Right. Yep.
And it's it's difficult because, as you said, and I think quite cogently, it's a moving target. And I don't know if anybody quite knows what next year will bring, let alone the next couple months. So with everybody opening up their APIs, with new applications being developed, with thousands of apps in the Apple App Store and the BlackBerry App World Store, it's just going to explode. And any legislation that's going to be written will probably have to be rewritten. It's going to be challenging.
It is. But one of the things that's probably not going to change, though, is how GPS works. Would you agree with me there?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I did want to point this out, because not that I want to be a stickler for perfection and everybody understanding the gory details about technology, but I did think that it was very telling that the chairman of the committee, Chairman Rush, in his opening statements gave sort of an overview of location-based services, and he wrote, and I quote, "Virtually all location-based services are currently offered to subscribers for free and are subsidized by advertisers. A majority of these services generate, emit, or connect terrestrial and satellite wireless signals. They connect independently or at pre-mapped points on a network. These signals can then hone in on and find a user's wireless handheld or roadway device, such as a cell phone or GPS unit. Unquote. So that describes an understanding of GPS, I think, that is not in line with the way I understand it. But it's interesting that he's chairing the committee and is going to be moving forward in getting legislation put together.
That raises the issue of, are the folks writing our legislation at least somewhat knowledgeable about what they're going to step their toe into? And I think even though all of us have a cell phone and want to issue an opinion because we have a cell phone, probably in GPS enabled, that we think that we're somewhat expert on the technology. And as we pointed out, things happen that are new every day. And it's going to be challenging, as I said, for this committee to come up with legislation that's fair, balanced, and hits the right point of equilibrium.
Right, and I think the best thing that we can do as practitioners in the field who understand the technology and are sort of watching with our particular perspective is to comment where appropriate and try to provide some insights, and especially to help legislators understand not only where we are today, but where this may be landing in the coming weeks, months, and years, so that we can be thinking ahead.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Our sponsor, ESRI, would like to remind you that registration is now open for the 2010 ESRI International User Conference, which will take place July 12th to the 16th in San Diego, California. Connect with ESRI staff and the global ESRI user community to gain tips, tricks, and tools to launch, update, or enhance your GIS projects. Register to attend at www.esri.com/UC. If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com or leave a comment in our comments box, either on Directions Magazine or on All Points blog. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.